I'm Marty Moscoen. Welcome to Radio Times. We are tracking the course and impact of Hurricane Sandy, which has gained in strength as it slowly moves up the East Coast. It's a big, wide storm that has meteorologists, emergency experts, and government officials concerned. It's expected to make landfall later today or perhaps sometime tonight. We begin our conversation, or our show today, with Joe Maketa. He's the Warning Coordination Meteorologist with the Mount Holly, New Jersey office of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's National Weather Service. And Joe Maketa, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good to be here.
What is unique about this storm?
Well, several things. The size of the storm, you know, the width of the winds with it, it's very wide. The second thing is, you know, the time of the year that we're experiencing. We're getting late in the season for it to be moving into this latitude. So a couple different things. And, of course, the surge that's associated with it is quite impressive. We're already looking at one of the fifth largest flood events at the time of high tide earlier this morning at Sandy Hook. And the worst high tide is yet to come later on this evening. So a lot of interesting things with this event.
How big is that surge, do you think?
Well, I mean, we're going to be rivaling what we saw, certainly what we did this morning. We rivaled what we saw back in 92, and we're looking at to surpass that during the evening high tide. So things don't look good.
There's also a full moon. Does that impact tide?
It does, although I will say this, with this event, we'd still be looking at record flooding for tonight with or without the full moon. I mean, the surge is so great with this event, mainly because of where it's going to be making landfall. We're expecting it to make landfall somewhere in the Atlantic City area this evening. And if you're on the right side of that path, you know, meaning in this particular case to the north of the storm, you're going to get the maximum surge, and that's what's happening at Sandy Hook. And really the whole New York Bight area is going to be heavily impacted by it as well.
Is there any way to know at, 10 o'clock this morning, what time it will make landfall?
We're the best estimates that we have, some of the numerical guidance that we have was kind of like divergent earlier in the but late last week and earlier in the weekend. But right now, some of the meteorological models are actually converging on this very similar solution, and we're thinking probably around 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock time frame, right around the Atlantic City area.
This is a slow-moving storm. Is that a correct description?
Yes, I think that would be descriptive of it, right.
And why? Why is it a slow-moving storm?
Mainly because of the upper air steering currents. It's getting trapped in an upper-level low, which isn't really going very much. It isn't moving itself very fast, and so that's what's happening. It's being captured by this upper air system, and that upper air system is not moving very fast. And so it's moving into the ambient environment, so there's nothing to drive it out fast.
Some have described this as a hybrid storm. Is that a meteorological description?
Yeah, I think it is, and it's purely for the people, the meteorologists out there. It doesn't really make much difference to the people at the surface. I mean, we're still going to experience very strong winds, just like you said, up to 80-mile-per-hour wind gusts near the coast, storm surge that we haven't seen before. And heavy rain, all which you experience during a hurricane. The problem is it's converting from a warm core system, which is what a hurricane is. You know, hurricanes get their energy from warm water in the ocean, and then they disperse that energy right near the center of the storm. Whereas cold core systems, which is what this is going to evolve in, get their energy from temperature gradients. And so they tend to expand their energy or expend their energy out over a wide area. So it really doesn't, and so that's what's happening. It's transitioning from a warm core system, which is what a hurricane is, to more of a cold core system, which is what a nor'easter or a wintertime system is. And the only difference for us, really, what it will make is that we probably are not looking at a lot of convective activity with this storm, and so we probably don't have a really strong set of strong threat of tornadoes with this system, which is really the only difference.
But nonetheless, we are talking about lots of rain, heavy winds, flooding, surge, as you say.
That is correct. We're looking at all the bad stuff. Perhaps the only thing that we may not be looking at is the threat of tornadoes.
And I guess that's the good news of today so far. Let me just quickly reintroduce you, and I do want to give out our phone number, and we want to stay in touch with our listeners. Talking with Joe Maketa, the first of a bunch of guests this morning on Radio Times. He's the warning coordinator meteorologist with the Mount Holly, New Jersey office of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. That's NOAA's National Weather Service. It's in Mount Holly, New Jersey. And Joe Maketa getting us up to speed on what we know about Hurricane Sandy. And any questions that you might have, do give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. And Joe, just to make sure I have my my terminology correct today, we're talking about a Category 1 hurricane.
That is correct. It had weakened a little bit. It was still a Category 1 storm earlier today, but they threw reconnaissance flights flew into it, and they actually were able to detect winds of 85 miles per hour, sustained winds of 85 miles per hour. So they actually increased the strength of it into a higher-end Category 1 storm now.
And will this be a long, sustained storm?
It will be because of the broad nature of it. I mean, the winds really do extend quite really far out from the center of the storm right now, and so that's going to be to our detriment, unfortunately. That plus the fact that it's not really moving really fast. So you'll have this broad area of really strong winds, and it's moving very slowly. So that's kind of making it worse for us.
And once it, as you say, kind of touches down in what appears to be the Atlantic City area, do you know what direction it will head? But I realize we're talking about something that's, what, 800 to 1,000 miles wide?
Right. Well, it will be moving west. Generally, that will be the general direction. I mean, we think it will move over to Lancaster, maybe Baltimore area, you know, by late tonight, early, you know, during the early overnight hours, and then maybe out by central Pennsylvania, out by Altoona probably by tomorrow afternoon. So that kind of gives you the trajectory on it. And the heaviest rains with it are actually to the west of the core, which means for us geographically to the south. And so we're expecting the heaviest rains from this event to be like from the I-95 corridor on south and east. And that corridor of heavy rain will be moving west with the during the overnight hours.
So thinking of I-95 as a corridor, if you're close to that corridor, you're going to get a lot of heavy rain?
That's right, and if you're to the south and east of it as well.
Now, as it heads west, there are, and I've read some predictions of snow associated with the storm?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, it's a big low-pressure system, so in the northern hemisphere, the winds around the low-pressure system, you know, turn counterclockwise, and so what's going to happen is colder air is going to be coming into the system as it moves west. So the higher elevations of West Virginia, and certainly Pennsylvania. I mean, although it won't be, it's not going to be, you know, really widespread in terms of snow out in Pennsylvania, but there are some of the higher elevations that will be getting snow out of this event.
Joe, we had a caller that wanted to know, where is the eye of this hurricane? Where's the eye of this storm?
Right now, it's off the Delmarva coastline, basically. I mean, I'm looking at a visible satellite picture. You can actually see the center of it. It's, you know, maybe 100 miles or so off the coast. So that's where it's at right now.
And I know you and others have issued watches and warnings, advisories. What should we know about what these words mean?
Well, watches, of course, mean that the conditions are favorable. A warning means it's imminent or already occurring. We have basically warnings up for everything that we do. We have flood watches up for the larger streams and rivers. They haven't responded yet. They're starting to go up, but they haven't flooded yet. But certainly we have flash flood warnings up now as we speak, mainly for far southeastern Pennsylvania and most of the Delmarva because of the heavy rain they have already gotten. Since about midnight last night, we've had about 3 to 4 inches of rain on some portions of the Delmarva, and we expect more as the day wears on, so we have warnings up already.
And looking at a storm like this, how does it eventually then dissipate?
Well, this one will actually just kind of move away from us, and then it will actually be all systems that start in the tropical areas, when they, you know, hit land, they actually start to die down because of friction with the ground, and their source of energy has gone away. They're no longer over the warmer water, and I think we'll be seeing that happen with this one too. The source of energy for the system has been it will be cut off after it moves over land, and so then it will just die.
And is it unusual for a hurricane to move across land the way Sandy is?
It is. I mean, this is kind of an unprecedented path. We don't have anything in our record books that suggests this kind of trajectory for the storm, mm-hmm. which makes it a little bit problematic because, you know, sometimes we like to take a look at what happened in the past to kind of predict what might happen in the future. So so this will actually provide us a lot of information in case something like this happens again in the future. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of unusual.
I was also reading that this could affect the water or the waves as far away as the Great Lakes?
Well, I mean, the winds will certainly affect it. I mean, you know, you have, you know, the winds blowing over the surface of the lakes actually, you know, creates wind waves and currents, and certainly when the system moves over in that area, that's what's going to happen to it.
Give us a weather forecast then, Joe, for the next couple of days.
Well, actually, after today and after tonight and after tomorrow morning, things will start improving. I think the worst of it's going to be the next 12 to 18 hours, maybe 12 to 24 hours. And then by tomorrow at this time, we should start seeing things start to improve. The winds are going to kick in, though. I mean, the strongest winds are going to occur as it makes landfall and then slightly after landfall when the winds turn over to the northwest. But then after that, hopefully, gradually, things will improve.
Joe, let me get to Harold from Mount Airy to join our conversation. And, Harold, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi.
Hi there.
I was wondering how this storm compares with Hurricane Gloria in 1986.
Well, Gloria, good question. Gloria didn't make landfall. This is coming kind of perpendicular into the coast, and so the surge is going to be really. When we take a look at tropical systems and hurricanes, the worst part of the storm surge actually occurs on the right hand side of the center of the storm, and so if this storm will be coming in perpendicular to the coast, and so the right side of the storm will actually be from Atlantic City on north. And so that's why we're predicting the worst of the storm surge to be occurring from Atlantic City up into Sandy Hook area and then up into the New York Bight area. And so that's and of course it's coincident with the full moon, which doesn't help. And then the sheer size of the wind field with this system is so there's a lot of differences in terms of the trajectory and where it's coming from and the time of the year as well.
Harold, thanks for the call to Radio Times. And Joe, we're almost out of time here. So have you been staring at computer screens for the last 24 hours?
Actually, it's been a lot longer than that. I mean, the models are getting so much better. You know, 20 or 30 years ago, we probably wouldn't have seen this so early. But because the models and the technology is getting so much better, we can actually see these things a week ahead of time sometimes.
Well, we appreciate the fact that you joined us today in Radio Times and got us up to speed on Hurricane Sandy. Joe, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
And Joe Maketa is the warning coordination meteorologist with the Mount Holly, New Jersey office of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's National Weather Service. That's NOAA. And, of course, like many people in this country, certainly along the East Coast here, we are talking about Hurricane Sandy. We've lined up a bunch of guests, and we want to hear from you. What are you doing today? Do you feel prepared for this storm? Do you feel like this is a storm that's being overhyped? Give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Tate Weller, Certified Public Accountant, celebrates 90 years of specialized audit, tax, and advisory services to national and global nonprofit and financial services clients. TAITWeller.com. Tate Weller. Focus, expertise, results.
A century ago, Leopold Stokowski stepped onto the podium. Now the Philadelphia Orchestra celebrates the Stokowski legacy. Emmanuel Cravine conducts Stokowski's arrangement of Bach's Toccata and Fugue, plus Franck's Symphony in D minor. Tickets at philorc.org or at 215-893-1999. November 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Kimmel Center, the Stokowski legacy with the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Politics, family, finance, faith. Too often the conversations are limited to who we know. But in our fast-paced world, it's important to know the new faces at the table and the new ideas that could shape our lives. Whether it's immigration, politics, or parenting, we offer real conversation about real issues. Join us as we explore what's beyond the headlines on Tell Me More.
this afternoon at 1 on WHYY. The Philadelphia Business Journal supports WHYY and is hosting the third annual Small Business Expo Delivering Happiness, December 11th at the PA Convention Center featuring Jen Lim of Zappos, pbjexpo.com or 215-238-5126.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Hurricane Sandy has been gaining in strength as it moves up the East Coast. It's a huge storm with strong and gusty winds. As we just heard from Joe Maketa, expected to touch down somewhere in the Atlantic City area this evening sometime. Of course, concerns about floods from the heavy rains in low-lying areas, a storm surge as well. And as Joe was just describing, even snow in some of the higher elevations. Joining us now is Paul Yeager, and he's a meteorologist, a writer at Penn State. In fact, wrote a book called The Weather Wise, Facts, Myths, and Oddities. And I should spell wise, it's W-H-Y-S. He also blogs at cloudyandcool.com. And Paul Yeager, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty. Good morning.
Good morning. And to our listeners, we have just a couple open lines at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Any questions that you might have for our guest, or we're also curious about what you are doing today and whether you feel prepared for this storm. Paul, we always struggle with a show like this about how much attention we should give a storm like Hurricane Sandy, and you don't want to be accused of hyping something that doesn't deserve to be hyped. How do you see Hurricane Sandy?
Well, it's an extraordinary event, and certainly when you're talking about the Philadelphia region that extends into southern New Jersey, it is something that needs to be talked about nonstop. It's a very important event. Now, when you're talking about it being a national news story and everyone hearing about it equally, if you're sitting in Ohio talking about the storm and hearing about it and thinking it's going to be a horrible storm here in Ohio, you might end up with the impression that it was hyped.
And it's been tagged or nicknamed Frankenstorm. Do you like those kinds of names for storms?
I have to be honest. Generally, no. I don't like them because a lot of times they end up causing confusion because one unit is calling it Frankenstorm, another one's calling it Hurricane Sandy, and someone else is calling it a superstorm. Without it, some kind of unification of the naming convention for these things, I think it causes more confusion than anything. Although I'll admit, since this is a Halloween storm, it's
exactly.
Kind of a clever name.
Exactly. And I was talking with Joe Maketa about this. It's been described as a hybrid storm, and I want to make sure our listeners know what that means. How should we understand what a hybrid storm is?
A hybrid storm, think of a hybrid storm as kind of like a hybrid car. A hybrid car has fuel that's from gasoline and fuel from electricity. A hybrid storm is also one that has fuel from two different sources, in this case, a tropical system and a non-tropical system. And when they begin to combine into one system, it's often called a hybrid system.
Is this a rare occurrence?
It is a rare occurrence, but it is not an unprecedented occurrence. I think sometimes, that's one aspect of the media coverage is we tend to think the things that we've seen have never happened before because we talk about them so much.
Exactly.
That's certainly not the case. It's more common for a hybrid storm to form in the fall than it is in other times of year because you still have the very warm, sultry waters in the tropics, which are the fuel for tropical storms and hurricanes. But you also have the beginning of what would be the non-tropical storms, the winter storms, the jet stream beginning to activate in the north. So you have those two components on the field at the same time. It's much more likely to get one of those mergers during this time of year than, say, in the middle of summer.
So a kind of a collision of these weather effects?
Yeah, it's almost, I almost think of it more as a merger than a collision. Sometimes, in a collision situation, the non-tropical entity will push the tropical entity out of the way as opposed to joining forces with it. In a hybrid situation, they actually join forces.
Is this a perfect storm?
The perfect storm was a hybrid storm in 1991 in which the remnants of a Hurricane Grace combined with an upper level low coming out of the south in a similar fashion to what's going on now. So in that sense, yes, it's a perfect storm, but a perfect storm really was just another name for hybrid storm. It was kind of the nickname of the day for that storm.
But happened more out at sea, so the impact on human beings is different.
Absolutely, that's a huge point. First of all, it did happen out at sea. It never made a direct landfall in the United States. Plus, the tropical system Sandy is stronger than the tropical system Grace, so there's more tropical energy to feed into it. So it's going to be a stronger combination. And then you factor into it that it is actually moving westward and making a direct impact on the United States. It's going to have vastly different effects as far as the final outcome.
And obviously, those in its direct path are going to feel the brunt of this storm.
Correct, and that's always the case when you're dealing with a tropical system. But especially when you have a tropical system that's making a direct impact on land, that's when the storm surge is maximized. You know, we've had a lot stronger hurricanes in terms of wind speed travel parallel along the coast but not make a direct impact. And when that happens, the storm surge isn't as great if the impact isn't as direct.
And one thing I've learned in the reading in the last 24 hours is that it's the storm surge that is the worrisome thing?
You are absolutely correct. That is one thing I think that gets lost in the hype of covering storms sometimes. We focus so much on the wind speed. We focus so much on where the center of the storm is going to go. But really, the most dangerous aspect of tropical storms and hurricanes is almost always the storm surge. And if you understand what a storm surge is, it's easy enough to understand. You know, a storm surge is a temporary rise in the sea level caused by the storm pushing the ocean forward. You know, kind of think of it, if you have a bathtub full of water and you have a hand pushing through that water, it creates a wave in advance of it. It raises the level of the water. A hurricane does that as well. So it's not waves blowing, it's actually the sea level rising, and then there are waves on top of it. So it's a very dangerous weather phenomenon. Easily can inundate low-lying areas along the coast.
Which is why there's such concern among people living along the east coast of the U.S.
Correct. You know, especially very near the storm center. And, you know, Joe mentioned this as well. And in this case, to the north of the storm, because that's where the flow is from the ocean toward the coast, around the counterclockwise flow around the low pressure system, maximizing the amount of water being pushed in.
Let me reintroduce you, Paul, and we have a lot of callers that want to join our conversation. Talking with Paul Yeager, he's both a writer and a meteorologist. He has worked as a weather forecaster. He is also the author of a book called WeatherWise, that's WHYS, Facts, Myths, and Oddities. He blogs at cloudyandcool.com, and he has a forecast weather for the entire United States, including Alaska and Hawaii. And we called him up because we wanted to know more about Hurricane Sandy. And we have just one open line at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Paul, let me get some callers in. Looks like we have Mark from North Cape May. And Mark, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Mark?
Good. We're sitting on the bay right now. We're backing up a little bit to get better reception, but we're in the car watching the waves crash on the bay.
And do you live down there, Mark?
Yeah, I live here year-round, and the island itself is, you know, people have been getting off the island, but a lot of people in North Cape May have stayed. And there's cars driving around, but the storm is not really, I think it's not really had an impact yet because it's just been rain, but not a lot of wind, but the wind seems to be picking up right now.
And how big are the waves down there?
On the bay, they're like 4 or 5 feet, and that's unusual because the bay is usually pretty placid.
Well, let me get to Paul Yeager to respond. And Paul, we know that Governor Christie and other government officials have told people living in some of these affected areas to get out. Clearly not everyone is heeding those warnings. Any thoughts?
Well, obviously, I think you need to heed the warnings of local officials. What they have access to is very specific information as far as very specific detailed forecasts, how much the water is going to come up in certain areas. And certainly, you know, again, we're talking about the actual sea level rising with those 4 to 5 foot waves then on top of it that Mark was talking about. And those waves are going to be a lot more intense once the storm gets closer and the sea is going to continue to rise. So certainly, if you've been alerted to leave, you need to leave.
Mark, why are you staying?
Well, we left when Irene happened, and I'm worried more about the winds and the water. We're fairly high up where we're sitting. North Cape May is higher, than Cape May itself. And we have our business open right now. We have a gym. It'll be open for, you know, as long as we can today. People are coming in, and people are thanking us for staying open because there's no place to go, really.
So people at Marker are working out in your gym while the storm rages?
Absolutely. Crazy people everywhere.
Well, I appreciate the call, and I do want you to stay safe, Mark. Thanks for calling into Radio Times. Paul Yeager, I know this is not part of your job description. Actually, we're going to have some... possibly the mayor of Philadelphia be joining us in the second hour of the show, but not everyone heeds those warnings.
No, and that's where the danger lies. And you know, he mentioned that the storm, you know, he's comparing it to Irene, and that's why, you know, some people are making different decisions. But remember, Irene paralleled the coast and moved inland much farther to the north, closer to New York City. It made a more direct hit in that direction. This storm is going to make a much more direct impact on the Jersey coast, and it's going to have vastly different effects. And that's why you need to heed the local warnings and the local experts.
And I think the fact that it's also slow moving, when I walked over to the station this morning around 6, it was, you know, it was gusty and lightly raining. The fact that it's slow moving, I think, can make people feel like, well, perhaps this isn't as big a storm as it's been predicted to be.
You're right. I think it's the fact that it's slow moving, and also the fact that we've been talking about it for several days now. People think, well, they've been talking about it. When's it going to get here? Obviously, it's not going to be as bad as they say it's going to be. Otherwise, it would already be bad, kind of approach. When in fact, the forecast is calling for it to be, you know, its peak conditions later.
Let me get some more callers in at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. If you have any questions for our guest, Paul Yeager, and we're also curious about how you are, what you're doing today, frankly, as Hurricane Sandy makes its way up the coast, and it looks like it's heading our way. We have Iris from West Philadelphia joining us on Radio Times. And Iris, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi there. Yes, I actually have three questions. I'll just list them quickly for you and hear what you have to say. One is, what's happening with the Delaware River in Philadelphia? It's 85 nautical miles north of Cape May, but really high tides this morning already, and it's hard to get a sense of how high that surge will be. And another question is, really curious to hear your thoughts about climate change and this particular... I know you can't peg any particular hurricane on climate change, but the general background picture of climate change as it impacts the likelihood of having more mega storms. And lastly is, in terms of impacts on the ground, there are open frac pits that are full of toxic radioactive waste that are sitting all around Pennsylvania. What kind of impacts can we expect on the ground from those? Thanks so much.
Iris, thanks for calling into Radio Times. Let me take the first one. We were talking about the impact of the surge. Will the surge also impact rivers, including the Delaware River, Paul?
That's a difficult question for me to answer because I'm not looking at the forecast in that detail. You know, it's not going to be as dramatic there as it's going to be at the Jersey coast because the storm is landing farther north than that. But yeah, that's the, you know, for a hurricane in Philadelphia, the biggest danger would be for the hurricane to move northward through the Delaware Bay and push that water up the Delaware Bay, you know, up the Delaware River into Philadelphia. That's the greatest danger as far as a storm surge for Philadelphia. We don't have that worst case scenario here because the storm's going to hit directly on the New Jersey shore, not in the Delaware Bay. But sure, there is some impact on the water levels on the Delaware Bay as well.
She also had a question. In fact, we have a guest we're going to talk to in the second hour of the show, but she was wondering whether we can help, whether understanding climate change helps us understand Hurricane Sandy.
You know, that's always the million-dollar question, and it's going
exactly
to depend on who you ask, but she did make a good point that you can never gauge any individual weather event, no matter how extreme, on climate change. You know, when you're talking about climate change, you're talking about how the climate changes over periods of decades, centuries, not over the period of months or years to the point of influencing an individual storm. Now, you know, I always am leery of saying things like that. I almost always feel like saying I'm a political liberal, which I am, because anytime I say anything about a storm not being directly affected by climate change, I fear that it's going to be turned into like some sort of a political argument, because, you know, conservatives don't believe in climate change, liberals believe in climate change, and that's kind of a lot of times the dividing line. But, you know, as an operational meteorologist, that's what I did for over 20 years, was I focused on the specific weather events happening day to day. You really can't focus on whether that does or does not, whether that is or is not affected by climate change.
Is it possible, though, even looking back at storms over the last, let's say, 20 years, does that give you enough information to see at least the beginnings of some cause and effect, or do we need more information?
I think we need more information because, again, you know, the state of the weather has changed. The state of weather forecasting has changed so much in just the last 50 years. It was before 1960, we did not even have pictures from outer space. We didn't have satellite photos that would show you the scope of the storm. One of the things that this storm is being noted as being historic for is the width of clouds across the storm, like 1,000 miles from one end to another. Mm-hmm. Before 1960, we didn't have the photographic ability to see whether that was the case. Surface observations, we might have been able to piece some things together, but to get a clear picture, a literal picture of what the weather looks like, we've only have data from like 1950 on. And again, if you're talking about the history of weather and climate change affecting broad-based weather over decades and centuries, I think you probably need even more than that 50 years worth of picture data.
And are we talking about, I assume we're talking about the fact that we just have, the technology is so much better, and I also wonder whether even the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, whether that organization and others just have gotten up to speed on weather prediction.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a combination of more data information, much better computer information. Joe has mentioned the computer models and that, you know, they sometimes can show these things a week in advance. That never used to be the case. We didn't have as many computer models in the 1980s, even in the 1990s, as we do today, and they weren't as reliable as they are now. So the ability to predict the storms is much greater as well. When I talk about climate change, I'm not discounting the fact that there may be some mm-hmm. influence from climate change. I'm just saying it's not possible to pick it out from an individual storm.
I asked Joe Maketa about the fact that there's a full moon. Does that have a tug on tides and surge and weather conditions such as Hurricane Sandy?
Sure, it always does. But, honestly, I think sometimes those factors tend to get overplayed because if you're talking about a large, powerful, strong hurricane coming in and no moon versus a moon, I'm not sure how much of an actual difference it's going to make in terms of the storm surge. You're going to have a massive storm surge just from the storm itself.
Well, let's take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation talking about Hurricane Sandy and talking with Paul Yeager. He's a writer. He has been a meteorologist for more than two decades. Wrote a book called WeatherWise, WHYS, Facts, Myths, and Oddities. He blogs at cloudyandcool.com, and he has forecast the weather for the entire United States. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. If you have questions for our guests, we're also curious about how you are spending your day. We know what we're doing here at WHYY. Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Drexel University School of Education and School of Technology and Professional Studies proudly support WHYY and invite you to attend their October 30th Graduate Information Session. The information session offers an opportunity to learn how to be more marketable in the workplace with a graduate degree or certificate from Drexel. Programs include global and international education, human resource development, project management, sport management, and many more. Details at goodwin.drexel.edu or 888-679-7966.
Just like moms, some dads choose to stay home with the kids while others are thrust into the role. Either way, it's a big job without the support of a human resources department. Some dads feel unwelcome in a scene that's still dominated by women, while family and peers wonder when they're going to get a, quote, real job. I'm Dan Gottlieb, and on the next Voices in the Family, the growing demographic of stay-at-home dads. Today at noon, here on WHYY-FM.
Medford Lees, a not-for-profit community serving those ages 55-plus and guided by Quaker principles, supports WHYY. This fall, there's an opportunity to explore, learn, and discover with Medford Lees as they launch their new Pathways series. Pathways features public programming on topics covering art, politics, music, history, horticulture, and more. Full details about Medford Lees public events, educational programming, and its campuses in Medford and Lumberton, New Jersey, are online at medfordlees.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoe, talking with Paul Yeager. And joining us now is Phil Gregory, WHYY's New Jersey reporter. And Phil, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Marty, it's good to be here, and it's good to be inside out of the rain and wind.
Well, where have you been this morning?
I was checking out some portions of Ocean County, northern Ocean County, right near the oceanfront. I started out in the Bay Head, which is on the Barrier Island. This is an area where they put in a mandatory evacuation order starting last evening. And despite that, many people are staying put there. Now, Kelly Mickle is the Deputy Emergency Management Coordinator for the town. She tells me that the ocean broke through some sections of the beach earlier in the morning, and that spilled out onto Route 35, which is the northwest roadway there that takes you down into some other sections of the oceanfront, namely down in Seaside Heights and Seaside Park. And that road is closed to traffic now, but I was on it earlier, and the water started to come out onto the roadways, and it made traffic at some points pretty much impassable unless you had one of the larger vehicles to get on it. Strangely enough, as I was going by some of the side streets there in my efforts to get off of the Barrier Island, I noticed a couple of women who were out walking their dogs, and they said that they're going to stay put during this thing. One of them, Karen Ladue, says she's lived in Bayhead since 1980. It says her house was recently renovated. She feels strong and safe. There's some neighbors staying on the block with her. They said they've never experienced flooding in this area in past storms. I believe there's a buffer there that sucks up the water, and they're going to stay put. Shelley Kirk, who was with her, says she is worried but wants to ride it out. Says they have a generator and some friends and have a truck that they hope they can make it out of there if they do have to leave.
Well, Phil, are stores open?
Some are, not on the barrier, but as I got up into a little bit further north, up into Point Pleasant Beach, parts of that town near the oceanfront were evacuated, but some stores were open. I talked to a woman at Josephine Gaffney, the manager of the Corner Bagelry, who said she was open in case people needed some last-minute items like bread and butter. It was out of milk, and there was a hardware store across the street, Point Hardware, where they were putting plywood on the front, hoping to safeguard the store from any damage from flying debris. And the guy there tells me that he was very concerned about this storm. He says it's supposed to be worse than Irene, as we've been hearing, and he's hoping to ride this thing out. One of the guys who came up to buy some last-minute items says he's going to stick in the neighborhood. He hopes his house is strong enough to survive it. That guy named Zach Darwich says it's going to be worse than Irene, hoping for the best, and advises people who live in low-lying areas not to do what he's doing, but to get out of town.
Well, Phil, final question for you. What are the police doing there down in these communities that you've been covering?
Yes, the police have blocked off, as I said, the access to the areas that are in low-lying areas. They're telling people not to go into those areas. The one woman in the emergency management coordinator in Bayhead says they expect the winds will pick up to about 75 miles an hour and could last for a 10 to 11 hour period. They say the water on the roads and the winds and the rain is going to make the traveling very hazardous, and are urging people pretty much to stay where they are.
Well, Phil Gregory, thank you so much for your reporting, and thanks for joining us today on Radio Times.
My pleasure, Marty.
Yeah, and he's WHYY's New Jersey reporter, and he's been covering the storm and people that are hanging on in Bayhead and Point Pleasant Beach. Those, of course, the barrier islands of New Jersey. Paul Yeager is also with us, staying with us for the rest of the hour, and we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Paul, there was something I was reading from the New York Times over the weekend, and the headline says shallow waters and unusual path may worsen the surge. How do shallow waters, and of course these would be the waters off, I guess, the East Coast line, how does that impact a storm like Sandy?
Well, remember the ocean, you know, obviously has considerable depth to it, and as you push that water along as the you know, as the depth of the ocean decreases, there's less room for the water to go down. It actually forces a higher surge as you get closer to the coast. You know, the coastline, you know, kind of getting gradually closer to the land, it pushes the water up higher. And also, you know, the unusual nature of bays, you know, if you have a wide bay that becomes a more narrow bay, if you have water pushing into that, obviously as the bay narrows, there's not as much room for the water to go. It needs to go up. That also increases the, you know, the height of the surge.
How did this storm start? Does anyone know?
How does this storm?
The very beginnings of Sandy.
Well, the beginnings of Sandy, I believe Sandy began down in the Caribbean as a typical tropical disturbance. Now, there are always disturbances, little weather features in the tropical region, but they don't all become tropical storms or hurricanes. It needs to be in an environment where, A, the water is warm, where, B, the upper level conditions are favorable for development, and once that happens, it begins to take on a life of its own. That's what happened with Sandy, and then it began to move northward.
And you've been you were a meteorologist for about 25 years. Are you still a meteorologist?
You know, I think being a meteorologist is like being a doctor. You're always when you go to a party, you know, 15 years after you stop forecasting, and someone says hello to you, and they find out you're a meteorologist, they want to know what the winter's going to be like. You know, you can't get away from it.
Yeah,
not that I want to, but. You know, I think that's just the nature of the position.
Kind of like economists, right? They want to know what the economy is going to be like in a year or two.
Exactly, yeah. The economist is front of the same thing. A doctor, you go to a party and they say, hey, can you look at this rash? You know, it's the same kind of thing.
Well, Paul, we have another HYY reporter joining us, Megan Pinto, NewsWorks community for, she's a reporter for the NewsWorks community for Roxborough, Manayunk, and East Falls. And Megan Pinto, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty. Thanks for having me.
So tell us where you are, Megan.
So I am at the Philadelphia Canoe Club, and it's right in between Manayunk and East Falls. It's tucked away behind the SEPTA bus depot on Ridge Avenue, and it's this old, beautiful 18th-century building that its members find so beloved, and they come every year during a big storm, and they clean out, and they're saying this year they were very lucky to have advance warning. They had about anywhere between 15 and 30 people on hand here this weekend. Tying up the boats, tying up the furniture outside, and everything is propped up on banquet tables. You've got three large refrigerators on top of banquet tables in here, and chairs and fans. Everything is very secure, so they're ready for the storm.
And we should say that the Manayunk area of Philadelphia is a low-lying part of the city.
Absolutely, and where this site is right where the Wissahickon Creek meets the Schuylkill River, so that they're at an interesting angle where they've got some falling trees, the potential of falling trees right by this hill, and a ton of water right in this area. So they're expecting, their latest estimate was that they're expecting about 11 feet up on their property, which is good news to them because it will hit right underneath their porch. Past years, like with Hurricane Floyd and Irene, it's gone into the building and it's left a couple of feet. I think Floyd was 5 feet above ground level up here, which is already raised pretty high above the water level.
Are you seeing, Megan, people out on the street walking around?
It is eerily empty along Main Street. You see a couple of cop cars every once in a while, but nobody's parked on the street, at least along Main Street, and some of the busiest intersections in East Falls and Roxborough are very, very empty.
And where will you be for the rest of the day?
Heading over to the Manayunk Brewery to see what their preparations are like now. So they usually, most of these organizations have it down to a science where they kind of open up all their doors, put the sandbags out, and let the storm run its course. So we'll take some pictures and post them up online.
Excellent. Well, Megan Pinto, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thanks, Marty.
And she's NewsWorks Community Coordinator for Roxborough, Manayunk, and East Falls. And again, you can check out newsworks.org. Also, check out Radio Times Facebook page and Twitter as well as we keep a track of Hurricane Sandy. Paul Yeager with us for the rest of the hour, a writer, meteorologist, wrote a book called Weather Wise, Facts, Myths, and Oddities. And he blogs at cloudyandcool.com. And we do have just one open line at 1-888-477-94. Paul, I do want to get some more callers in, but it's interesting listening to our reporters. And while some people seem to be ignoring some of the warnings, others are preparing for what appears to be a pretty big storm.
Right. I think, I mean, I think that might be a reflection of the you know, the coverage and how people react to it. I mean, I think a lot of times people, no matter what the storm is, think that the coverage is going to be overblown and they're going to be fine, mm-hmm. and they're just going to stick it out. And, you know, and other people, you know, tend to react more quickly to it.
Let me get some callers in at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. A couple of questions for you today, which is, what are you doing today? What are you observing in your neighborhood or out your window? And have you prepared for this particular storm? And do you have any questions for our guest? Let's see what Clarissa from Bala Cynwyd has to say. Clarissa, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Oh, hi. I keep hearing from the, or online, the various weather resources about how unusually low the barometric pressure is in this storm and how that's more typical of a Category 3 or 4 hurricane, while this is being graded as a Category 1. And I was curious about, you know, how that affects the prediction for the strength of the storm.
Clarissa, that's a great question. Let me see if Paul Yeager can answer that. What should we know about barometric pressure?
Well, barometric pressure is really, you know, when you see a low pressure system on a map, you know, you're seeing the low barometric pressure, the center of the low pressure system. So when you're talking about the barometric pressure for the storm being extremely low, it's talking about the lowest core pressure inside of the center of Sandy. And I'm not a hurricane expert, so
right.
I can't say a certain pressure means a certain amount of wind, and this is because of this, and this is because of that. But I will say that, you know, one of the things that is remarkable about this storm, and potentially record-breaking, is that it could bring the lowest barometric pressure of all time to the areas where it makes the most direct impact, in, you know, where most direct landfall. You know, for instance, if it makes landfall in Atlantic City, Atlantic City might have the lowest barometric pressure reading it's ever had. And that's an indication of the strength of the storm.
Meaning, when people talk about, there, people like you talk about the strength of the storm, we're talking about winds, we're talking about...
Well, in that sense, we're talking about the lowest pressure.
Right.
Now, wind speeds, you know, wind speeds are listed at, you know, I believe, 85 miles per hour. I haven't seen the latest advisory come out.
Right.
A lot of times with the pressure that low, you would expect wind speeds to be higher, in a higher level of a category of a hurricane. So I don't know if that means that there's some room for strengthening still. I believe that the National Hurricane Center was talking about the possibility of some additional strengthening as the storm interacts with the non-tropical part right. of the storm coming inland.
I'm embarrassed to say how poor a science education I got when I went to school. But what do we need to know about low barometric pressure? If you're saying this could be the lowest on record, why is that important?
Well, that would be important because it gives an indication of the strength of the storm system. You know, when you have a low pressure system coming in from the west with a winter storm, sometimes if the lower the barometric pressure is, the more intense the storm is basically what you're talking about. It's a measure of the strength of the mm-hmm. storm.
That's very, very helpful. Let me see what Connie from Doylestown has to say. And Connie, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. We're planning to fly out to San Francisco for a convention, and we were hearing about the airports shutting down because of wind. So we wanted to know if he can tell us when the winds will die down so that the planes could take off from Philadelphia, I mean, starting tomorrow night or Wednesday morning. Does he have an indication of the forecast for the wind?
Okay, and Connie, I should say that Paul Yeager has worked as a meteorologist, but he is not currently working as a meteorologist. But anything you can say about winds?
Well, you know, Joe mentioned that the worst of the storm would be 12 to 24 hours, so I would suspect that he was thinking that the winds will begin to diminish some, you know, probably tomorrow morning, I would mm-hmm. think, would be roughly when the winds would begin to diminish. Now, remember, how much does the wind need to diminish, though, before they decide that it's safe to open the airport? Plus, mm-hmm. you know, how many planes are going to be backlogged before they get to the one that you're interested in flying out on? You know, so just an improvement as far as the speed of the winds isn't going to immediately clear up the problems at the airports.
Connie, good luck, and thanks for calling into Radio Times to see what Chris from Bucks County has to say. And Chris, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
I just heard someone ask about the nuclear waste that's stored at the reactors down in South Jersey, and is it in danger of a spill like we had, I guess, in Japan? You know, we have a similar situation where water could possibly overrun the wet wells where the waste is stored.
Chris, I'm looking at the commuter, on my computer, and I thought your question was, does the Gulf Stream waters, does that affect the storm? Was that also your question?
That's also my question.
Okay, because I think that might be more in our guest's wheelhouse. Paul Yeager?
Yeah, I'm not aware of anything as far as the nuclear waste. And I believe the earlier caller was talking about the fracking.
The fracking, yes.
The fracking pits. And, that's certainly, I don't know much about that either, but that's obviously a concern if there are these chemicals available to be mixed with fresh water. But as far as the Gulf Stream, yes, the Gulf Stream is always a potential influencer of hurricanes because hurricanes, tropical storms, they grab their energy from the warm waters below and... The Gulf Stream is that warmest layer of water that kind of runs from along Florida northward along the New Jersey coast and then out to sea. And certainly when the storm goes over that, there is the potential for some additional strength. I mean, I think that was part of the reason they talked about the possibility of Sandy getting a little bit stronger was, not only the interaction with the upper-level storm coming in from the west, but also with the warm waters from the Gulf Stream.
So what will you be doing for the next couple of days? We're almost out of time here, Paul Yeager.
Well, being I'm in State College, I think I'm just going to probably head into work and watch the storm.
And watch the storm like the rest of us.
Well, the rest of us, yeah.
Well, thank you so much. We called you up late last night to join us today in Radio Times. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. And he's a meteorologist. That's Paul Yeager, meteorologist, and also a writer at Penn State. His book called Weather Wise, Facts, Myths, and Oddities. And he blogs at cloudyandcool.com. You can also go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out much more about this program. And you can follow us on Twitter, check us out on Facebook. And we are keeping up with the storm as this news works here at WHYY. And we have a couple of guests waiting in the wings, so do stay with us. We'll be right back.